Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
On Wednesday night, May 9th, 2018, in Lowell, Massachusetts, history will be made. Ring of Honor will crown a brand new world heavyweight champion. His name is Matt Taven. He joins Mike Riley and myself in studio. Hello, future world champion.
Oh, man, does that feel right or does that feel right? I mean, it's been about way too long. I mean, 5 years too long since the day I stepped into Ring of Honor. So it'll be nice to finally let it happen and let everyone enjoy my my crowning moment, May 9th, Lowell Auditorium.
The Matt King Taven gets his crown.
Well, that's overdue. In your own backyard.
I mean? Exactly. I mean, could you write a better fairy tale? It's going to all come to an end and all come true on May 9th.
Matt will be taking on Dalton Castle, who beat Cody Rhodes for the Ring of Honor Championship. Matt Taven has beaten Cody Rhodes
twice
on multiple occasions. So if I use the transitive property,
you know what I mean?
Then this is a cakewalk for you. You're just going to blow doors on Dalton Castle.
Matt Taven greater than Dalton Castle. You know, it's simple math.
Tickets are available at the Ring of Honor website, ringofhonorwrestling.com, at the box office, 978-937-8688. Matt, how are you? How you feel?
I'm fantastic. I'm enjoying the nice weather finally here in the Boston area. And the Celtics had a big win last night. I'm challenging for the Ring of Honor title. I mean, I'm the NWA welterweight historic. I want to make sure I get that right. There's so many labels to that title. Champion. I'm the six-man champion. I mean, life's good.
So you're going into a world championship match against Dalton Castle. How do you prepare for that? What's kind of your scouting report on Dalton?
I mean,
chat me up if you would.
Me and Dalton know each other really well. I mean, this is not the first time we've been in the ring together, but everyone knows, you know, we're friends. But the thing is that Ring of Honor title means much more to me than any friendship, especially one with Dalton Castle. So to really prepare for this, I've been prepared for this. I've seen Dalton come in day one into Ring of Honor, and I've known I've been better than him since then. And, May 9th is just going to be the instant replay of what I already know. I know that I'm going to beat Dalton Castle and that this is going to end with me holding the Ring of Honor title in front of my hometown crowd. Finally, the King sits on his throne.
And you've been in the Lowell Memorial Auditorium numerous times before for Ring of Honor.
I never lost my smile. Not once.
There you go. That's right.
Not once. Every time I've been there, big smile on my face.
You always have a smile on your face there. How do you like performing there and getting in the ring in front of the crowd there?
I mean, it's fantastic. You know, I've been wrestling for 10 years and mostly, you know, the first 5 years came out of this area, came out of that Massachusetts area from wrestling at Top Rope, Northeast Wrestling, Chaotic. And, when you get to come back to this crowd that I really haven't wrestled in front of since signing an exclusive contract with Ring of Honor now for a couple of years, it's a little bit of a homecoming. You see all those familiar faces in the crowd. You feel that support. And, you know, you know that they've been behind you for so long that they are genuine in their support towards you. So, I made my return to Ring of Honor after knee surgery in that building, and I'm also a lunatic, you know, six-year-old wrestling fan at heart that remembers WWE being in the Lowell Auditorium, remembers
sure.
Shawn Michaels losing a smile there, remembers DX, you know, pulling down their pants, and my mom being like, what are you watching? All happening in Lowell, so...
Thursday Raw Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
will you ever forget that name? But it's stuff like that I don't think I realized at the time, but it's like when you go back in your phone or something, you scan through old pictures and you're like, man, that's the same background of what I used to watch as a kid. And those moments are always special.
You know, going into the match the day of, what is your routine? You're going to have a good workout. What time do you eat? What time you wake up? Give me a day in the life of Matt Taven on the day of a championship match, as we'll see on May 9th.
I mean, I like to get there early, and I kind of like to unwind, stretch a lot. I'm actually not the biggest eater day of, just like, or maybe before, right before. I like to kind of fast a little bit, and that's something that goes back all the way to high school, football and basketball, and just sports growing up. And I kind of like to clear my head and really let that last moment to not think about anything, because I'm a guy that has really obsessed over my career and every step that I make. And I know that from now until that day happens, I'm going to be thinking about Dalton Castle every single day. So right before it happens, that's when I like to kind of flush things out, relax a little bit, and just remember that I'm Matt Taven for a reason.
We were in New Orleans. We were happy to see that the Kingdom reclaimed their six-man tag team championship.
Exactly. The ones we never lost.
The ones you never lost. You reclaimed it. Remember, possession is 9/10 of the law, as we know very well.
Ran out of the crowd. That
so
was awesome.
How difficult a path has it been for you to get through this Kingdom conspiracy and get to this world championship opportunity?
I mean, it's difficult when you're so great and you just feel unappreciated all the time. And you look in the mirror and you're like, but you're so great. And I'm like, I know. And it's just, you know, it's a tough complex to live in a world where you know that you're better than everyone else and just everyone else doesn't seem to realize it. So it's sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And New Orleans was fantastic because we spent the day out front, you know, protesting the Supercard of Honor show in general. And people started coming up and burning their Cody Rhodes shirts, burning their Bullet Club shirts. Just a pile just started forming. And it really, I think, opened up Ring of Honor officials' eyes and showed that this Kingdom conspiracy thing has legs and people can see that there's some truth behind it. And I think that's why I got my title shot on May 9th.
It's blown my mind because for years you've been main eventing all over the world.
Exactly.
Japan, Mexico, you win championships on other continents for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. And it's taken the Melvin promoters this long to finally put you in a main event spot for a world championship.
I mean, I'm one of the only guys in history to ever win titles in New Japan, CMLL, and Ring of Honor. I mean, that just speaks for itself. And Cody Rhodes is falling all over himself trying to sell out All In. Well, guess what? Matt Taven put 11,000 people in Arena Mexico last month and didn't even break a sweat. The first night he was down there on the tour before that, 14,000 people. No big deal. Just Matt Taven on top doing what he does best.
And beating Cody Rhodes twice now.
And
it's twice,
you know,
right?
That's just the things I do.
I mean, you even made Cody Rhodes bleed a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and I did that with the CMLL title, just to, you know, let them know that this international superstar is coming for him.
We were there, you know, obviously Kenny and Cody was a big draw, but we were there to see Matt Taven, baby.
Exactly.
We were there in New Orleans for that, and that sold out that arena in New Orleans.
And I wasn't going to disappoint the people.
No, you wouldn't. But you had to kind of watch that match underneath the ring there.
And I really didn't see the match until until afterwards. You know, and what a hell of a, and it just put a bigger smile on my face because what a fantastic match.
It's great
for
match.
Me to come out and ruin it, just it makes me so happy because I was under the ring not knowing what's going on. I wish I packed earplugs because it is unbelievably loud under that
really?
Ring. It's so loud.
Yeah.
And like,
how many weapons are underneath there?
You always wonder where these things come from. Like, we're under there and I'm like lying down and there's just random tables and like buckets of random tools and chairs.
Fire
like,
extinguisher.
Who puts this stuff under here? Like, is that someone's job?
Oh, of course you have to go out to the ring before the match and hide your plunder on there so when you need
well,
it later.
Well, I mean, we usually hide Vinny under there before matches, so I understand that. I'm hiding humans under there, so to hide objects, I guess, is a little more reasonable. But you're under there, and you can really see kind of everyone. Like, the way the skirts are situated, you see out into the crowd, and you're like, I think everyone can see me. But they can't at all. So it made for a nice little surprise, and it made for a nice moment running out with the six-man titles that we never lost.
Who came up with the balloon idea?
I don't want to sound, you know, too braggadocious, but I'm the huge It fan out of the
nice.
Three of us. And, you know, me and Vinny have gone back and forth on why the original It is so much better than the new one. And I stand true to this, that it is. But I was like, wait a second. You need a shirt that says, like, they all float down there. And then we all started just kind of, like, brainstorming. I was like, why don't you do the balloon thing? And Vinny's just, he is such, like, an artist. He got a balloon and drew his logo on it. And before you knew it, he had all this stuff ready to go, and he really took that idea and ran with it. But you know, it's fun to see the reaction now when the balloons come out from under the ring, because people are starting to realize what's going on, and it gets like, oh no, and that just, you know, makes my heart grow three times bigger every time.
The fact that people hate the balloons and they gasp for it
and then they hate it.
You know, as a big It fan here at 98.5 The Sports Hub is the one and only number 16, Scott Zolak. Huge It
fan.
Oh,
I didn't know this.
Yeah, huge fan of It. In fact, he was going to dress up as It for Halloween last year and try to scare
him. Oh, is that true?
I don't think he did, though, but he was talking
That's
about
That's not a rib, is it?
No, true story. He was talking about scaring away.
He would be terrifying at that size.
Yeah, trick-or-treaters.
Pennywise.
That is one dude you wouldn't want to go up against there to get candy from the house.
What does he think, the original or the new
First one?
First one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's with you.
I mean, I haven't seen, obviously, they haven't come up with the second part, but I just... You know, the original made you kind of, like, think about everything that was happening. And this one just threw stuff at you, you know? So
Do you like horror movies?
Love horror
you
movies.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Vinny Marsaglia is actually, he's about to start a YouTube channel of his own called, like, Horror Reviews. I'm sure I'm getting that name wrong, but I plan on being his first guest.
Nice.
Because he's a big horror guy, obviously the horror king.
Right.
But his companion through his horror journey has always been myself. So
cool.
I'm a big horror guy. Unfortunately, there's been a couple of movies that I haven't gone and seen yet. The new Strangers came out, and then A Quiet Place I heard was fantastic as well, and I just haven't found the time to get over to a movie theaters, but hopefully soon.
How is it traveling with Vinny and TK O'Ryan, two of your good friends, and you get to work together in wrestling?
You know, it's traveling with the circus, literally, because Vinny's like...
Isn't that what you guys are?
But, like, we really turned into the circus. It's like, TK calls himself a horse. Vinny's blowing up balloons in the passenger seat next to me, and I'm like, what has my life become? But, you know, it's one of those things where when you travel with your best friends, you can really kind of let your hair down in more ways than one. You know, travel can be very frustrating, and you're not going to take it out on everyone you see, but then all of a sudden, TK will say something, and you'll be like, listen, everyone shut up. And you're like, all right, well, that's just been boiling over all day. But, you know, everyone kind of gets that traveling so much and being around each other, we just kind of, we can say whatever the worst things you could possibly imagine to one another. And it's like, all right, you guys want to go eat? You know, so it's the best of times. It's the worst of times. But we actually get a good job of the crew that we have taking advantage of all the places that we go to. You know, we went to Florida this past weekend, and obviously, you know, being from Boston, the weather hasn't been that great around here. And we made sure in the couple of hours that we had that we're like, all right, the beach is here. I was like, Vinny, get in the car. TK in the car. We're hitting the beach now. Change in the car. So, like, you know, we try to take advantage. And we got with that crew, we're always, you know, doing what we would do here, just kind of going with the flow and trying to make the most out of all the
situations. And we're
going to
see more of this stuff on your Travel Taven
yes.
YouTube video.
Yes.
I mean, plug it. Plug your Twitter, too.
Yes. I am Matt Taven on Twitter and Matt Taven on YouTube as well. But the Travel Taven series is a new thing I just started. You know, I'm kind of one to get into the macabre and the obscure haunted places, abandoned places. You know, the first episode was the Island of the Dolls in Mexico, which is supposed to be one of the most haunted places on Earth. And, you know, we have the opportunity to kind of visit these places on someone else's dime, so I'm going to take advantage of
Absolutely.
It, and I'm going to try to, you know, let everyone else see what I'm going out and seeing on all these tours, because, you know, I'm the guy that's always like searching videos for these places, and I'm like, you know what, I should make these videos. I'm there. I'm the one going to check them out. So, you know, hopefully we can keep it going. We just did the Night of the Living Dead. I did Danvers Mental Institution. We did Riddle House in Florida, and also Edward Scissors Edward Scissorhands locations. But it's like cool. Also, like I'll have an idea for like the Riddle House in Florida is supposed to be one of the most haunted places. But then Vinny's like, you know, by the venue in Lakeland, there's where they shot Edward Scissorhands. I'm like, let's do it. You know what I mean? So it's a fun little crew, and to bring people along on the journey is a good time as well.
Do you go big during Halloween season in Salem?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like,
right.
I try to, yeah. I mean, of course, like, when people come to visit, they always want to check out Salem and stuff. And yeah. I'm like, check it out in the off season. I think it's better. And then, you know, check out this place instead of getting caught in the touristy place. And I almost take Salem for granted at this point. I forget, like, that one of the most historic, you know, haunted locations on the earth is right down the street. I'm like, Salem. I've been there. But
the headquarters of it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Every time I go there, it's a dump. Yeah, why do I want
to
go back?
I've been to the Bewitched statue, whatever.
Been there, done that.
No, I need a little bit more appreciation of it, because every time someone comes here, they're all about Salem.
So, as Jimmy said, May 9th at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium, Ring of Honor coming up, ROHWrestling.com to get your tickets. But we last saw you, Matt, in New Orleans for the Supercard, and that was the night before WrestleMania, the whole weekend based around WrestleMania. Ring of Honor, too. You guys sold out the building there in New Orleans at the, was it University of New Orleans campus, I believe? But the fact that you're going up against NXT, what does that say for Ring of Honor, showing that you guys aren't afraid to, you know, go up against, you know, the number one in
the
world?
I'm gonna jump in for a second here, because see, Ring of Honor books these venues a year in advance.
That's fair.
And then WWE comes in and goes, oh, we're gonna turn NXT into Saturday night instead of Friday night.
That's exactly the thing.
But what does that mean for you guys? Well, that's to put all that talent out there. And I thought that was the better draw going into it, the better show overall too, going up against NXT. So credit to you guys to do that.
To see, you know, the top brass take notice of Ring of Honor means you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and recently things like we went into San Antonio, and on the same night they planned on going to San Antonio. We were killing them in our ticket sales, so all of a sudden Shawn Michaels becomes the guest referee for the main event. We still end up beating them in San Antonio, and it's just you know, little kind of achievements like that kind of is like another notch on your belt and gives you the confidence to keep growing and keep going forward. But I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, like I was saying earlier, you kind of scroll through your phone and look at old pictures, and our first pay-per-view, you know, I saw the flyer for it, me versus Lethal, and I'm thinking, wow, that's 2014. That's our first, like, real pay-per-view. Not iPay-per-view, you know what I mean? That's our first, like, real jump into competing. And now, 4 years later, we're, you know, putting 6,000 plus in a venue against NXT, where, you know, where we have the Honor Club, we got all these things.
I was kinda a day one subscriber.
You know what I mean? And I think the next step has to be a consistent slot on a, you know, national program where everyone can find Ring of Honor at the same time on the same station.
Right.
You know, there's been talks. You know, I don't know how much you can actually say about it. But
well, then don't. I don't want to get you in trouble. I mean, you're on NESN locally, but the time kind of varies depending on what NESN has for Red Sox or Bruins.
Of course.
Or anything else. And paid advertising. I mean, the shampoo guy needs to get more airtime. So. But generally, it's 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. That's when it's supposed to be.
And sometimes, you know, I have a DVR if I'm gone and you go to it, and it's been preempted for, you know, some like, oh, Bruins get manicures. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess that should preempt Ring of Honor, which is, I understand.
Well, yeah,
I understand.
17% owners.
Yeah. No, of course, and that's what I mean. Like, I understand, you know, who's writing the checks over there, but that's why it's so important. And Sinclair, you know, I'm not going to say anything people don't know, has, you know, merged with other companies, and there's been talks about, is this going to lead to the next step? And I honestly think that that's what we need to do to continue to grow and compete. But as we wait for that day, you know, the crowds seem to speak for themselves and the popularity speaks for itself.
And like you and Jimmy saying that, you know, WWE taking notice of that, you know, going head to head, that's a compliment. That is a compliment to you guys.
And of course.
I think the future is really bright, continuing to stay bright for Ring of Honor.
And, you know, you go and you look at kind of the NXT loops that they go on, and a lot of them are the same loops as us.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of seeing the crowds that we have developed and grown in those areas. And then, you know, a lot of the NXT guys are Ring of Honor guys.
Right.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And a lot of WWE guys in general are Ring of Honor guys. So they know that these names have been established in these buildings, in these locations, and they're trying to, you know, ride that Ring of Honor wave. And that's not a bad thing. You know, that's when, you know, they say, you know, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery. And if that's the case, and if Ring of Honor is on their radar like that, obviously it's going in the right direction.
And speaking of which, too, the new addition of the women's division, really trying to propel that now with the new championship. And, you know, formerly Emma, Tennille Dashwood is now in there. And a lot of...
Mandy Leon is a personal favorite of mine.
Love Mandy. Big fan of hers. we follow each other on Twitter.
Girl.
Yeah, we follow each other on Twitter. Anyways, but that's a nice addition considering what the WWE has done with the women's evolution. Maybe this is the next step here, too.
I mean, definitely. There's always been that mindset of Ring of Honor is the wrestling wrestlers, wrestling spot, and wrestling. And can I say wrestling one more time?
Yes.
You know, where like we rate matches and we are, you know, this is awesome chance and stuff. That's always kind of been that's Ring of Honor is the purest wrestling. Well, if that's the case, then let's bring in all the best girls from around the world. And you're seeing these girls coming in from Stardom, and I'm sitting in the back watching the monitor, not being too familiar. Obviously, I see things here and there, and they're just blowing my mind. And, you know, you need a balanced product. You need to touch all bases. If you want to compete with the biggest competitors, you need to go at them in every aspect. You can't just be a niche market company, and you can't just go into this and be like, all right, so we're the, you know, the wrestler's wrestling company, and that's all we're ever going to be. That's not going to work. You know, that's only going to get you so far. And in ECW, you know, you saw, like, we're the hardcore company, and people kind of labeled them as that unfairly. And I think that they got kind of pigeonholed into that a little bit. And I'm not saying that contributed to, you know, their ultimate demise. But I think that they needed to, and they tried to, especially when they went to TNN and stuff, to be a more balanced product. And that's how you compete. So to add the women's division is just another thing that Ring of Honor is doing correctly to continue the growth of the company.
Well, and I think with ECW, they had more balance than they were given credit
without
for.
Without a doubt.
They had Axel Rotten with the barbed wire baseball bat. They had Taz the wrestler. They had Shane Douglas, the promo guy.
Yeah.
They had Rey Mysterio to do the high-flying stuff. They had Sandman drinking beer. They had Tommy Dreamer as the innovator of violence. They had the Eliminators as one of the great tag teams of all time.
But
the
RBD.
Dudley Boys were a fabulous tag team.
And I think the most important
the gangsters,
guy out of all of them is, if you look at today's style, if you do not think that Rob Van Dam influenced this style more than anyone in history, then I don't know, watch wrestling again. Because I know kids I do the frog splash because of Rob Van Dam.
All right, I was going to ask you, is that the best one you've ever seen in your life?
Without a doubt. Van Dam's is my favorite.
Over Eddie.
I'm sure that's probably not the most popular opinion, but I think Van Dam's. I saw them both in person as like a, you know, a lunatic teenage fan, and at the Ice Center in New Hampshire. And
I went there.
You know, and to see them both, and just to see the elevation that Van Dam, and that's kind of why I do it, you know, in the kind of the same vein technique wise as Van Dam's. But that's my number one frog splash, and I'm actually a big fan of the Art Bar frog splash.
The one
that D'Lo ended up taking.
Oh, that one
later.
Too. Yeah, I forgot about
But I definitely would put Rob Van Dam number one. And, you know, you look at guys like Will Ospreay and Ricochet, and, you know, even Flip.
You've beaten
up
them all, by the way.
Of course I have. And even Flip Gordon coming up. And, you know, you can do all the flips in the world at the end. It's good. You got to beat someone. But you look at all these guys.
That's coming.
You look at all these guys and you think, like, oh, they're so innovative. Go watch RVD and, you know, ECW. It's in the same vein.
I mean, he was doing all this great stuff in 96 and 97.
Yeah.
And I think the moment that he got over, if I can use that term, was the match with Bam Bam, where he wins the television title, yes, with the help of Sabu, which people forget. But he did the two flips into the crowd.
Of course.
And the crowd in Buffalo, New York, if I remember correctly, was just nuts for it. I remember being a Van Damme fan. I'm like, this is the moment. So this is his moment.
This is how big of a Van Damme mark I am.
Are we going to go back and forth on Van Damme stuff?
Well, I tried to do the same thing in the PAL Hall in Fall River. Yeah. Do the flip dive into the crowd.
Oh, boy.
And Tommaso Ciampa, you did not catch me. You let me hit the floor so hard.
No.
I whacked the floor, and he hugged me immediately afterwards to apologize. I was like, Tommaso, am I on the ground? Did I just do a front flip all the way to the floor on the ground right now? But yeah, that's the kind of...
He doesn't seem the very huggy type these days. It's just an observation on my part.
I wish he hugged me on the way down so I wouldn't whack that floor so
Maybe
hard.
That was foresight into what his future was going to become of.
All right, I got four rapid questions for you.
Hit me.
All right, who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Why's that?
I'm a Bret Hart fan. There was something about it. I was, got into wrestling basically because of the Ultimate Warrior as a little kid, like seeing all the colors and stuff. And there was something about Bret Hart with all the pink and the glasses. And I was a big fan of his wrestling in general. I like to put the sharpshooter on every single cousin that came over. So basically, like it was yesterday, watching the tape of him beating Mr. Perfect in 91.
Oh, great match.
My favorite match of all time is him and Piper at WrestleMania 8. And that's not even like a match that you're like, oh my goodness, but it's just the story of it. And just, I don't know, it puts me in a certain spot from my childhood. So definitely Bret the Hitman.
If you could meet one wrestler that you haven't met, who would it be?
You know, the only wrestler that I really think I haven't spent some time with is like my fandom time would be Stone Cold. He's the only guy I haven't kind of crossed paths with. I've even, met The Rock at different times backstage for WWE. But Stone Cold, I've never had the pleasure of sitting down with or saying hi to in general. But I think in history, I kind of always wanted to see, what Andre the Giant was actually, size-wise in person. Because I met the great Khali and been around him, and that's terrifying. And he is just such a huge person. You're like, he's a nice guy and everything, but you're like, what? What is this? And he shakes your hand and he's touching your elbow. It's crazy to think of how big he is. So I kind of want to see, was Andre that big? I know he was wider, but that's kind of one of those ones
have
I think
you ever
I just
been,
wanted to be in the presence of.
Have you ever been near the Big Show?
Yes.
His fingers are like, I'm 6'3 and 285, but his fingers are just massive. They're like twice the size of anybody.
I watched him eat a burger that it was like from a restaurant,
like a fast food. Like 10 seconds?
Well, it was the sheer fact that, when you usually get like a restaurant burger, most people will cut it or whatever. It's kind of sloppy if you try to pick it up by yourself. He had it in one hand like it was like a Happy Meal burger. It was nothing. And he had like three of them in front of him. He just housed them real quick. I was like, man, that's...
And this is the new Big Show, who's 390 now. Yeah. I mean, at one point, he was 5 bills.
I know,
right? Phenomenal shape.
And, used to be doing moonsaults in WCW. Yep. It's just insane.
What's your favorite city to be in for a wrestling event?
There's so many. Obviously, there's the Tokyos and the Arena Mexicos and all that stuff. But Turner Hall in Milwaukee.
Oh.
Is this small place. It reminds me of the PAL Hall in Fall River, which is like kind of one of my favorite, independent places. But that place in Milwaukee, I don't know if it's just the Milwaukee fans who, have a, let's say they're stereotyped as heavy drinkers. Maybe they live up to it every night that we're there. I don't know.
Else is there to do in Milwaukee because the Bucks suck.
Well,
they have one of the best players in the league, and he can't be coached well.
Funny you say that. Is that Silas is from Milwaukee, and I'm there this weekend with my phone out watching the game. Flipping out, swearing at my phone in excitement that the Celtics are surprisingly just killing Milwaukee in Game 7.
Yeah.
And Silas comes up to me to check the score. Or whatever, and he's like, no one really cares about this in Milwaukee right now. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, the Brewers are on like a tear right now, and everyone's
so
kind of focused on the Brewers instead of the Bucks. And I was like,
really?
What? So I was like, I thought they might actually win the series and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And
he was talking about how Giannis is fantastic. I was like, he's going to be the best player in the league in 2 years.
Well, if he gets coaching, because in the NBA, coaching matters, despite what some people say.
I actually heard a drive-in earlier, it's someone trying to convince or asking Felger, when will be the line that you give Brad
Stevens? Never give it to him.
But man, like this team I mean, and people underestimate the loss of like a Daniel Tyson stuff. Well, what that does to the depth. I love him personally. I think he's a great pickup.
Tyson's Horford light.
Yes, exactly. And to give you and to spell Horford and give those minutes, like what a valuable piece.
Tyson is the best contract in the NBA. He's the new Jay Crowder contract. Best contract in
underrated
the NBA.
One.
Speaking of that, the Jazz. I couldn't believe that they handled OKC like
best
that,
upset I've seen in a long time.
But I boo Jay Crowder hard. I just there's something about how.
He took out Gordon Hayward in the opening night. He absolutely did. He bridged
mentally,
him and
yeah.
He bridged him, took him right out.
Well, it's just like he's like blocked friends of mine online for telling.
Oh, is that
them,
true?
Yeah, like
are
for,
you serious?
Well, because I remember when Gordon Hayward came the year before and everyone cheered for him, and then he like you know put something online, and one of my friends who's like you know no one, not like a guy with a lot of followers, one of my friends from back home said something to him on Instagram. He's like, I think Jay Crowder just blocked me. I was like, no way.
Good Lord.
No, if he can't handle, I mean, you should see the things tweeted at me. People ask me to blow out my knee again and all sorts of crazy things.
Twitter's so nice, isn't it?
It's the amazing. Best place.
Yeah.
It's the,
septic
you know.
Tank.
I have a weird block on Twitter. Will Middlebrooks blocked me.
He
blocked
told me that.
And I've never said
Dell?
Any. No, I'm friends with Jenny.
But he blocked
maybe that's
you?
Why.
He blocked, maybe that's
maybe
why.
That's
maybe
why.
That's
okay,
why.
Okay, there you go.
Maybe
crack
doesn't
the case
like
there.
That. Maybe
yeah, that what okay, so how much longer until the Celtics win a championship?
It could be next year. You know,
I think
and
so
like and looking at this team the way it is right now, man, think about a healthy Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. I mean,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
They could win the East if they
especially the way Cleveland's playing and stuff. I mean, I really couldn't imagine right now there's still a possibility that this Celtics team, not a strong possibility, but there's a possibility that they could make a run to the finals.
Absolutely.
You know, with Terry Rozier, as much as people are freaking out about him, but, you know, with Terry Rozier at point guard, this team could make the finals. Now, imagine he's coming off the bench behind Kyrie, and then there's Gordon Hayward, and obviously that takes the pressure off the young guys like Jalen and Jason, and it's like...
And then they go
team.
Out and they get Anthony Davis this offseason.
I mean,
but what do you give up, though? Jalen Brown?
It would be Marcus Smart, Jalen Brown, a pick, a future first-round pick, and then whatever balance you have to do to match salaries.
It's just
I'd
tough.
Pull the trigger on that. You
see,
wouldn't do it?
No, I would. I would. It's
you want to win now.
Yeah, it's just like you see Jaylee, and this happens
Jalen
every
Brown's
year.
Awesome.
You get so married to all these players.
Oh, yeah.
Like last year, everyone's so married to Isaiah. And it's
right.
Like,
well, you people were. I was not. You people were.
You people.
I'm going to say I was never in the love. I was appreciative, but I said he wasn't a max guy ever.
No,
you know. But,
I thought Avery Bradley should have gotten the max contract over. If you were going to give one, it was Bradley over Isaiah because Bradley was so good defensively. And,
but
you know, it's an overpay for a 3-and-D, but...
To even see Bradley in Detroit is kind of like, okay, maybe we made the right decision there.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
so
not,
it's
man.
Like...
That Morris trade, sneaky good Marcus Morris
He's playing
Morris
fantastic.
Trade.
He's playing fantastic. And to see, like, the amount of turnover that's been on this team... And they still succeed, you know what I mean? And obviously...
Credit Brad Stevens.
Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, you know what I mean?
He's the captain of the Brad Stevens fan club.
Hey,
there.
I'm right behind him waving that flag.
No, Stevens is awesome. He's great. Great addition.
You know, and that's... And Matt and I went to the 53-point Isaiah game last year.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That must have killed Jimmy.
No, I was...
No, I'm kidding.
I wouldn't have given him a max contract.
I'm with you, too.
And no other team right now is going to.
No.
I don't think. I mean, unless he comes back for... You know, one of these suck bag organizations next year on a 1-year deal. I don't think Isaiah gets his max money.
You would need to have a gun to your head to put him on a max contract.
I think he's like on a lower scale, like kind of like the poor man's Derrick Rose story. You know what I mean? Where like had a great season or two and stuff. Now he's going to come back from that injury and be a good six man probably. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have him coming off the bench, give you some scoring off the bench, that's not a bad situation.
I think that's what he was. And Brad coached him up and... He had a good two-and-a-half-year run.
Brad
Stevens can
do no wrong. Oh, boy.
You know, speaking of coaching, you have your own wrestling school in Rhode Island.
That's true.
Chat me up about that.
So the XWA Wrestling Kingdom is on, or at 3 Bridal Ave in West Warwick, Rhode Island. And it's something that started with me and Mike Bennett. You know, we came up, you know, getting trained by Spike and having Bob Evans and then going up to the Chaotic School. And, you know, really what kind of got this started was I was hurt and I kind of needed a place to train for myself. And, you know, Mike Antonucci from the XWA approached Mike and he floated the idea of, you know, what if the two of us did the school? And so we kind of batted around a little bit. And then finally we got into this building in West Warwick that, you know, has everything we need. And it just kind of developed into this really special kind of home away from home place for me at this point. But, you know, I don't think that the kids that were our first class really realized that they helped me get back in the ring and kind of rehab this injury. So I was, May, I think we first got in, so it'd be like 2 years ago, May, coming back or rehabbing, we first got into the school, and by September, I'm back in the ring. So a lot of rolling around with, you know, brand new guys and kind of faking it till I make it at first. Like, I think I remember how to do this, right? Oh, that's how you do it. All right, everyone in the ring.
Yeah.
But in reality, it really kind of gave me the confidence to trust my knee again and move around. And now it's, you know, it's one of those things where we got some great students and to see them at places, you know, like the XWA, NEW, Top Rope, they're starting to kind of branch out now. And you know, you're letting the baby birds out of the nest and you're watching them fly away and come back. And it's really cool because I can't appreciate enough the people that gave me those opportunities. And, you know, wrestling is this really special fraternity. Mm-hmm. To kind of pass that along and not just take from wrestling like so many people do to kind of make sure that I'm continuing the circle of life as it comes to wrestling knowledge that it really puts a smile on my face to see these guys out there and doing what they've always dreamed of doing.
Who are the students that we all need to look out for?
There's this.
And if you can't single out just one, because you've got 30 of them who are all out prospering.
Yes, I got a bunch. I mean, but the
put
guys.
Them over.
You know, right now, the American Sumo Mike Gamble, who's, you know, a heavy guy, can move, can do all this different stuff.
Was that the guy we saw in the Greatest Royal Rumble? On Friday?
No.
It looked like him. Yeah, he didn't.
I'm not sure who that was either.
Okay, so I don't feel bad about it because I felt bad. I'm watching this guy come to the ring. I'm like, who is this?
Well, like, we're getting updates on the phone.
No,
I was like, does anyone know who this is?
Right.
Is this someone?
Okay,
like,
so I'm not around, so I don't feel like a total jerk.
Could have been one of
being like, who is this?
Yeah.
There was one guy I identified as Brodus Clay.
He looked just like him.
Batumba or whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I know of him because Steve Corino obviously is down, you know, training at NXT. Mm-hmm. And would post stuff about him, you know, really talking him up. And I never realized how big he was.
6'9", 360, I think, is what his Wiki page says.
When I saw him come out, I was like, oh.
Football player,
Vince,
too.
Vince was like, oh, yes. Get in there.
He's got size.
He's got it all. Kill him.
That's a good impersonation. That's really good.
We both listen to Pritchard,
I was about to say, that's just me ripping off Pritchard.
But that's good, though. That's a good Bruce impersonation.
Yeah, it's a good impersonation.
Look at him in his chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. But him, student Dexter Liu, Neck Delta.
Oh, the gambling guy.
Yes.
Dexter Liu's the gambling guy.
Dexter Liu's
I may
fantastic.
Have done some side bets with him.
And, you know, he's so good at that character, and I want to just get more videos of him out because he's fantastic at that whole degenerate gambler character that he's going on.
We got a few of them in this studio.
I chatted with Dexter down at a Northeast Wrestling show in Bethany.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He came up to me. He's from the area?
Yeah, he's from Rhode Island. So, I mean, he's been one of our first students.
Came up to me, said hello, talked to him a little bit, and seems like a really nice kid.
No, he's great. And, you know, the good thing with the school is that you got me, Vinny, TK, Mike and Maria have moved out to the Midwest now that they have a little one. Congratulations to them.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, for 2 years, they were coming in as well. So, you know, guys like Dexter Liu and all these guys, other guys that I was mentioning, you know, they have the opportunity to kind of get all these different views and all this different advice in one house where before you would have to physically go to all these different schools. And I really wanted to bring that, like, you know, I don't know everything. And right. I'm not always right. And what
Sarge does, actually.
Yes, I do. I know it all.
So
I know it all.
To that.
That's right, and, baby. And if not, we got a dishonorable discharge.
And, you know, and maybe something that I like is not what you like,
right.
You know, and
yeah.
There's the cliche of wrestling's ice cream. Well, I wanted every flavor of ice cream
of
I could get in that school. So I think that's a good experience for all these guys to get these different voices and opinions.
Put a plug in for it. Website, phone number, go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you message me or follow me on any of my social media accounts, which are just, if you know how to spell Taven, which, if you're going to apply to my school and don't know how to spell Taven.
Is that true? Did this happen?
Beat down. People have misspelled my name with the classic, you know, Tavern, which is
God.
There's almost
Taven
nothing
rhymes
more.
With Raven.
Yeah, exactly. What about me? What about Taven?
Yep.
So
I'm Matt Taven.
So if you know how to spell Taven, T-A-V-E-N, you can find me at any social media platform. You can message me on any of those. I'm also Matt Taven at Gmail. You can message me about the school. But the school's official stuff is the official XWA at Gmail. Also that on Twitter. On Facebook, it's the XWA Wrestling Kingdom. You know, all those platforms as well, you can message and get information on the school. Or you can swing by. We're there every Monday and Wednesday night at 7 till God knows when.
Three bright them home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the first couple of nights, we're there some 1 o'clock, you know, just, all right, let's try something else. And when you get in that groove, you don't want to stop. So
yeah.
We also have a weekend practice that obviously is dictated by our schedules and where we're at, if we're home or not, or who's home. So we're usually there 3 nights a week. There's a student show on Thursday. So it's a great place to come check out at any time.
So here's what you want to do. You want to go to ringofhonorwrestling.com or you want to call their box office, 978-973-8688. Do it old school. Call the box office. And you want to buy your tickets for Wednesday, May 9th, where you're going to see history made.
Yes.
As Matt Taven is going to become the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. He's going to beat Dalton Castle. And it's really going to be a rout because I figure what's going to happen is because there's a Celtic playoff game that you need to be at.
Mm-hmm.
So you go on at 7:30, you beat them in 20 seconds, and then you're off and you're courtside for the Celtics holding up the Ring of Honor World Championship.
You know what I mean? If I can get that coordinated, you know, so Ring of Honor officials,
make
this the first match. I know that that's going to mean everyone's going to leave afterwards, but you got to do this for me. I've been putting 5 years into this company, 2 knee surgeries. It's the least you can do. So make sure I don't miss that playoff game.
And then get them a state police escort down.
We can set that up. You've got some pull
yes,
with
I
the
do.
State. Officers
I sure
here.
Do,
so.
Yep. My nice. Father's a retired police officer.
Well,
so
there
we can
you
work
go.
Out. Yeah.
Well, I figured they would all be lining up ready to salute on the way
well,
out.
Well, you know, in fact, I'm so glad you said that because Jimmy's going to kill me, so I'm sorry, Matt. Just do me a favor. Put your right hand up at a 45-degree angle.
There
you
is.
Go.
Oh,
you get
there
it.
It
is. Go,
yeah.
Oh, stop it, Jimmy. Get out of here. Give him a dishonorable discharge.
Nobody loves their gimmick more than Riley does.
Not bad.
There's
see?
Nothing like a good radio gimmick.
That's
you
right,
know what
baby.
I mean? Nothing
it's all good,
better.
Baby. Good luck on May 9th. Looking forward to it, Matt.
Thank you very much.
So May 9th, Lowell Memorial Auditorium. Go there. See Matt Taven. You guys are doing War of the Worlds, so New Japan talent is going to be there as well.
Yes. New Japan, Ring of Honor. This is going to be the very first night of the War of the Worlds tour, which is always usually the best one, as history has shown us. But this is going to be one of the biggest shows that comes to Lowell. And a lot of times, you know, New England fans always ask me when Ring of Honor is coming next. Well, we're here. And I need you there. I need you loud. And I need you cheering for me. Because if not, you'll be on the wrong side of history come May 9th.
Exactly.
And when Matt wins the belt, I want to take a picture with him holding the belt.
Okay. Well, he's got 3 of them.
He's got three of them.
The
first one to take it with
so
him.
So which one goes around the waist and which one goes over the shoulders?
See, I'm really gonna have to find. I'm really gonna have to find a Sonny Ono to start, you know, taking pictures of me with all these belts.
There
so.
We go.
So Matt Taven's gonna main event. He's gonna win the world title
Damn
on
right.
Wednesday,
yes.
May 9th, and we'll be there to see it. Matt, thank you very much for coming in.
No, thank you guys.
Thanks,
it's
man.
Always a blast.
Sarge, I'm give you the last word.
Yeah, a lot of fun here. May 9th, Lowell, Matt. Go out there, win big, and bring home the gold, baby.
You know it.
Make us proud.
See you guys.